This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
The Ethical Slut is now in its third edition, and it was published over 25 years ago and written by sexual educator Janet W. Hardy and psychotherapist Dossie Easton. The Ethical Slut is a guide to non-monogamous relationships. But in reality, is polyamory or non-monogamy as simple as it's described in this book? Well, Andrea Walling is a senior research fellow in sex and sexuality at La Trobe University, joins us on the line. Andrea, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you.
Before we talk about the book, do we know how many people roughly are in polyamorous relationships?
We don't have any kind of recent statistics for Australia, so I wouldn't be able to answer that question, but we are seeing kind of more people coming out as polyamorous or engaging in ethical non-monogamy. So we are seeing a kind of increase of visibility, but as the actual number, I'm not quite sure.
Let's talk about, the book is called The Ethical Slut, and the term slut can be offensive for a lot of people. Is it a good term to use to describe anyone who is in a polyamorous relationship?
I think it really depends on the person. I think the idea behind the language for the ethical slut is to try and destigmatize what we often notice is slut shaming. So people who engage in sexual activity that doesn't fit within a kind of nuclear monogamous kind of hetero dynamic. And so slut's been kind of used to describe all kinds of people who sit outside of that. So I think the use of the language is really an attempt to destigmatize. But in terms of kind of a more general everyday engagement with the language, it would really depend on the person, just like any other kind of terminology that may have multiple meanings. You know, you'd want to have a conversation with them about what's acceptable for them.
Let's go back 25 years ago when the book was first published. What was the overall reaction to the book?
I think the reaction was that it was quite controversial. It was quite stigmatized and taboo to kind of come out and talk about ethical non-monogamy or polyamory and all of that in between. We were just kind of coming out of the HIV and AIDS epidemic at that point. So there was a lot of anxieties around casual sex and relationship styles that sit outside of that kind of really kind of conservative nuclear family, you know, monogamous format. So that the reaction would be kind of some people really welcomed it and were really excited to have something that was speaking to their experiences, and for other people it would have probably been quite challenging and quite moralizing.
Do you think that the stigma around non-monogamous relationships is starting to erode?
I think a tiny little bit. I don't think we're anywhere near where we could be when it comes to non-monogamy. So much of our systems and society are not built for polyamorous relationships, non-ethical non-monogamous relationships. They're really built for monogamous two partners in a kind of very heterosexual sort of way. So we don't really, I would say that we're starting to see bits and pieces, and, you know, in local media, we're starting to see television shows and movies that are featuring polyamorous relationships, and not necessarily as jokes, but actually it's just kind of genuine relationship styles that people may engage with. So we're starting to see it, but I wouldn't say on a whole that it's really destigmatized.
Andrea, many of the people that I know that are in non-monogamous relationships, I notice that often jealousy pops up, and it's often a barrier to them exploring their polyamory more. Does the book suggest ways to overcome this, and are these ways realistic?
So the book does have a whole section about overcoming jealousy. And so it talks a lot about managing conflict and managing expectations around jealousy and opening up relationships. And some of the advice, I think it's useful for things, you know, thinking about how do you manage your own feelings of jealousy, kind of recognizing where those feelings are coming from, what can you do to engage those feelings. But I think the book doesn't do a good enough job in kind of the more relationship dynamics. How do you have those conversations with your partners? What if your partners are breaking boundaries or expectations have not been clear? Or we know that notions of jealousy can be weaponized either weaponize. The person feeling jealous can weaponize it in terms of trying to restrict what their other partners do, or the opposite way, we can see it weaponized through people saying, well, you shouldn't feel jealous. You're not a real polyamorous person. You're not really engaged. You're not true to this lifestyle if you even have feelings of jealousy. So we kind of see it happening on both ends. And I don't think the book handles that complexity or the nuance around all of that very well.
We're chatting with Andrea Walling, Senior Research Fellow in Sex and Sexuality at La Trobe University, about the book The Ethical Slut, which was published over 25 years ago. The book talks about the starvation economy and what impact it has. What is the starvation economy?
So the starvation economy is this concept that in society we are kind of starved of the things that we need, and so we have to kind of fight for those resources. So when it comes to affection, connection, social connectedness, we live in a society that we can feel very starved of that. And I think it's quite prevalent in today, particularly after the impacts of COVID, where people really felt that social isolation. They really felt starved of genuine human connection because of all the lockdowns, all the restrictions, borders closing. And so the starvation economy is a really kind of a concept to reflect what for a lot of people can feel like they're being starved of something that they need, some kind of genuine connection, whether it's friendship, whether it's romantic, or something more.
I noticed when I read the book, my interpretation was that it portrays an image that polyamory is without stress and it's effectively full of pleasure. Do you think the ethical slut oversimplifies things?
Oh, absolutely. I do think it does. And I think it's a good way to treat it as a bit of a 101 guide, but it really kind of skims over quite a lot of challenges that I think should have been included. You know, one of the big things that the book talks about is how if someone approaches you and asks to engage in sexual activity with you and you say no, and the book says, well, you should say thank you, it's really nice. But the reality is for a lot of people, that's where violence happens, being approached for sex with or without consent. Saying no isn't often respected, and we know that in terms of sexual violence statistics. And so even just the little things like that make it really complex. The idea that we can have casual encounters without consequence is just not true. You know, a lot of people, as much as they want to engage in casual sex, they're worried about, you know, slut shaming, they're worried about stigma, they're worried about maybe not quite having a good handle on how to ensure prevention of STIs, or how to ensure prevention of pregnancy for people who experience pregnancy. And then there's that violence aspect as well. How do they know they're going to have a safe and pleasurable encounter with someone who's actually going to respect their boundaries? And then when you add in relationships on top of all of that in terms of a polyamorous sense, again, it's a lot more complex trying to manage multiple romantic, emotional, friendship connections, sexual connections, and ensuring that everyone is feeling heard and valued and what that looks like. And people have different expectations about what that can look like. They're not always in alignment. And then I do think as well, it assumes a kind of level of emotional intelligence that not everybody has had the capacity to develop. Emotional intelligence can take time to develop, how to handle conflict, how to sit in your feelings, how to talk about those feelings, how to listen to others' feelings. That's a very difficult skill, actually, that we don't get a lot of training in. And so it kind of expects that everyone can do that, but actually a lot of people can't. So all of that kind of comes into play when you're trying to navigate a polyamorous lifestyle that is actually quite complex.
What would your advice be to someone who wants to pick up the book, find out about polyamory? What would you say to them?
I would say give it a read just to kind of start getting your head around what, you know, what the world is and what it can be like, but look for other books as well. There's plenty that's been written about polyamory that go into more depth. There are some really great community groups. I know there's a few in Victoria that are polyamorous organizations to support polyamory and there's a community. There's lots of forums, lots of kind of websites that you can go to look at and other resources. So I would kind of recommend talk to people, do some reading, read from a wide range of sources and kind of develop your own kind of understanding of what you think it is and how it might work for you.
Andrea, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you.
Andrea Walling, Senior Research Fellow in Sex and Sexuality at La Trobe University. And of course, the book is called The Ethical Slut, published over 25 years ago.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.